In a few minutes, time poverty and why women get stuck with it. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The terrorist attacks in Brussels are raising new questions about how the seat of the European Union's government is protected. The metro station that was hit is close to the European Parliament, and among other things, Brussels is also home to NATO and to major financial firms. Nova Safo has more on anti-terrorism resources and how everything that could have been done was not being done in Belgium to reduce the chances of yesterday's attacks.
Belgium is a small country. Is it really on its own in protecting big institutions of European power?
Essentially, the answer to that is yes.
Robbie Gramer is a security expert specializing in NATO countries at the Atlantic Council. He says each country in Europe has to deal with its own terrorism threat, and Belgium's police force just wasn't designed for that.
Belgium has really been overwhelmed in recent years by the number of radicalized people.
Belgium's task is made harder by the fact that European countries each have their own intelligence operations, and they don't always share info. Frank Salufo is a former senior U.S. counterterrorism official who's now at George Washington University.
We need to look more across Europe as a whole to ensure that intelligence is being shared between and among the various security services.
That's going to happen, says Robbie Gramer.
You'll definitely see a heightened interest in shoring up Belgium's anti-terror and intel units.
Because, Gramer says, it's now painfully clear just how exposed Belgium is. In Chicago, I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Let's catch up with financial markets now. Stock markets are on a firmer footing today. The CAC 40 in Paris is up more than 0.5%. Frankfurt is up 1%. The FTSE in London is up 0.2%. The British pound stopped its fall against the euro and the dollar today. The UK currency had weakened sharply yesterday, with market participants betting that the Brussels terror attacks would persuade more British voters to firm up barriers with Europe, thereby increasing the chances that they vote to leave the European Union later this year. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed. Now to a discussion about who does the unpaid work in families around the world. Answer, women. In poor countries, in rich countries, it is women who do an outsized proportion of the chores. In a developing country, it might be the hours hauling drinking water. In developed countries, it might be who's running around picking up the kids, getting groceries, or caring for sick family members. And for girls doing more of the chores, it eats into their schoolwork. This notion of time poverty for women is a key focus this year for Melinda Gates, co-founder of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, who told me this story.
Just to give you one example, I spent some time actually living with a family last year in Tanzania, and their young daughter, who was 14, Grace, who was about the age of my daughter, we were still doing dishes late at night in the dirt under the moonlight at 10:30 at night. And when my daughter finally came out with a headlamp on her head, the thing that this girl most wanted, and she was quite shy, was my daughter's headlamp, because she said, then when I'm finished with the dishes at night, I can study using that light. She doesn't even start her homework till after 10:30, whereas I saw her brother doing it when it was around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
I was talking to your spouse the other week. He had some provocative ideas about finding new energy sources. But in the case of time, what you're highlighting here, I mean, scientists can't bend the space-time continuum. So what are ways to tackle some of this?
Economists refer to the solutions as the three R's. First, recognize the problem. Do some things to reduce it. And third, redistribute the workload. For instance, women spend 125 million hours a day collectively carrying water. We can reduce that with certain innovations. But then also you have to do the piece of redistribute. And that sometimes takes social policies. In the U.S., for instance, we don't have a good family leave policy. And we should. Other countries have had these for a long time. That redistributes who does the child care at home and what the expectations are right off the bat when you have a young child.
Tell me about your assumptions about where the slacker partner is going to get the time to contribute more to the chores. I mean, it seems like you hope that some of it is drawn from, quote, free time.
Yes, some of it does definitely come out of leisure time. So if you look at what women are not getting to do, they're not getting to watch a movie or sit down and watch TV or exercise. And we have to understand that if you have a partner who's out working in the workforce, they are working all day too. So something has to give in the household. And so you need to have those conversations. And that's a piece of it.
I see that when you ask them, many young people, young people, think that this has already changed, that this is not going to happen to them when they soon get out into their family lives. And you're here to say it hasn't changed as much as they think?
Often when a couple enters a relationship, even if they have equity when they start the marriage, something changes. From the data, we know that once that first child is born, something drops back. Now, the woman obviously is at that point is often if she's breastfeeding or she's the one who's getting up at night. But if you don't have that conversation both before the time that you are married or in a serious relationship and then again at the time that the child is born, you're not going to keep equity in the marriage. And so we need to make sure it doesn't fall back there. The other thing that I will say is men are doing more at home. They're doing about 2.5 hours a day at home. That's not insubstantial. But TV ads only show men doing any kind of housework 2% of the time. And so what are we teaching our kids? We're teaching them that, oh, he does that and mom does something else. That doesn't make any sense for where we are today and what's actually happening.
Melinda Gates of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Note also that America's key measure of the economy, GDP or gross domestic product, doesn't count all of this unpaid work at all. A director's cut of that interview is at marketplace.org, along with links to an interview I did the other day with her spouse about his funding for radical alternative power research. You can see the theme emerge here. The Gates family believes we need more time and energy. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.